Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 10th of March, 2014, the podcast that gets down from a duck. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Okay, so last week, you remember on that little tag at the end, Jonathan Lochey mentioned a recent online phenomenon called Twitch Beats Pokemon?
Yes, and it's been a blaze and such on the whole interwebs and the gaming scene. And honestly, I'm impressed. And I saw bits and pieces of it. It was interesting to say the least. And I just can't wait to see if there's going to be more of these things.
Yeah. So this Pokemon game, I think was from the original Game Boy, and it's like in black and white and everything.
Yes, it was Pokemon, I think, Red. I listened to stuff like way back.
Yeah, it's Pokemon Red and Blue, but it's a black and white game.
Yes, it is. On the original big old brick Game Boy. People, gosh, I'm so old.
Yeah. So really what they did was they gave commands for each of the buttons on the Game Boy, and anyone who wanted to could go in and type the command. And they were talking like, you know, millions of people were coming and doing this thing. Actually, most of them were just watching. But still, at any given time, there were something like 100,000 people giving commands to the character.
Yeah, that was crazy stuff. And I was really, again, I was impressed, but it took 16 days.
Yeah, 16 days, 7 hours, 45 minutes, 32 seconds.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, an individual could beat it faster than that, but still, all these people working together was pretty cool. And they had these two modes that it could operate in, Anarchy and Democracy. And it's interesting because in Anarchy, it was just people putting in the keystrokes and the game would follow it. And there were so many people doing it, it's like most of them would just get, you know, just blown off of the queue. And just whenever the game was ready for another input, it would just grab the next one and maybe 100 people would have put in commands. So you didn't really know which command it was going to get. But apparently, the users at the time, because there was some kind of crazy things going on. It took like 6 hours for the character to cross a ledge and stuff like that. But, so there was a way that people could say, no, we need democracy mode now. And if enough people said that, it went over to democracy and they had the little thing up at the top that said how close you were to anarchy and how close you were to democracy. And if you were in democracy mode, what would happen is it would actually queue up all of the commands over a certain period of time, a few seconds or whatever. And then whatever people said to do the most would be the ones that would do whatever got a plurality of the votes would be what the character would do.
Yeah. And because, you know, some anarchy is like old trolls doing everything else.
Yeah, there were clearly a lot of people in there whose motivation was just to wreck the game.
Yeah, of course, there's always going to be that. But there's also people, I know how everything the game works. I know everything. You know nothing. You know, you have to just do this and you'll be fine. Because there's so many ways you can beat a game. Sure, there might be the preferred way, but there is no 100% way to beat any game.
Right. Lots of possible paths that lead to victory.
Yes.
But the thing I think is interesting is, a lot of people went, but you see, they have the democracy mode. It was democracy that did it. I think it only actually went into democracy mode a couple of times. And when they actually beat the game, they were in anarchy mode when they beat it.
What does that say for you, boys and girls?
I honestly don't know.
My inner Tim Dyson here. but honestly, it does. It just shows that maybe that the democracy, the way of control, is not usually the best way to go on.
But it also shows you can have voluntary forms of democracy, like when people get together and form a club and they say, okay, let's decide what we're going to do, and you kind of go with what most of the people want to do. You can have little voluntary forms of democracy like that, and that can come out of anarchy really at any given time for as long as it's needed, and then it can go away and go back to anarchy again.
Yes. Just because a majority thinks it's a good idea.
Imagine if they passed bills through Congress this way. They'd put it up on Twitch, and we'd all get on and start banging away at it.
Yeah, I think things would get a lot done a lot quicker instead of just prostering, doing nothing, and they vote themselves to pay raises. I mean, that to me is the perfect job
there. Well, that would be fun. Put the pay for the next term's Congress on Twitch and watch everyone hit down.
That'd have to pay us to go up there.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I don't really think this counts as the Wisdom of Crowns. Because, first of all, the Wisdom of Crowns is based on personal incentives, and there wasn't really any kind of incentive or reward with this, which is why you had people in there just deliberately trying to mess with the game, and apparently there weren't enough with them to really stop them, but, I mean, that could be a problem. But the big thing is, even when you're in democracy mode, it's not really the Wisdom of Crowns, because you're just going with whatever the majority happens to say, and you're not taking in the opinions of the minority. Like, for example, the things you do was like up, down, left, and right. If, like, more people said up than said down, left, or right, you went up. But what if you had the up, down metric, and so everyone who hit down counteracted the vote of everyone who said up, and everyone who said left counteracted the vote did right. So it wouldn't be which one wins. It would be which one has the greater weight of it. You know, 50 more people said down than up, but 60 more people said left than right. So you go left. That's the kind of thing where you're really starting to get at least more of Wisdom of Crowns deal, because there has to be a way for everyone's opinion to converge on an ideal solution. So I don't really think this qualifies as that. It's interesting, and apparently they've already started doing their next one. I'm not sure what it is, but it'll be interesting to see what they come up with in the future. I know they were tweaking this one as they were going, and so they'll probably find better and better ways to do it down the line.
Yeah. Call me more crazy, but maybe the next one, it could be even shorter. You know, maybe if they put anarchy, the whole thing, maybe the game might actually end quicker, but you never know.
Well, and if they just had a better way of reflecting the anarchy, because I really wouldn't call it anarchy, I'd call it random.
Oh, random.
It's just whichever one happened to be the command at the time when the game was ready for it. It's a little more random than I think true anarchy is.
Are you an Amazon customer? Now you can help this podcast just by doing what you've always done. Just clear your cookies and go to amazon.bogosity.tv. You won't pay a penny more for your purchases, but you'll help this podcast. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to amazon.bogosity.tv.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
Okay, so our first item in News of the Bogus is pretty bogus, and it's actually been going on for a few weeks now, but I wanted to wait and see how things transpired before I talked about it. Apparently, there's this girl who calls herself the Food Babe. Now, that already lets you know you're talking with, you know, forget, like, people with PhDs or whatever. If someone has a blog that says Food Babe, yeah, that's the one you're going to get.
It's, you know, it's a nice little clever title, but, you know, I want to see, you know, show your homework. That's what
it is. Oh, yeah, it's fine. It's an attention getter. But, I mean, the point is, this is someone's blog, and that's really all it is. And so she's going on talking about how everyone's talking about how healthy Subway is with their sandwiches, that she's found this horrible ingredient that's that Subway puts in their bread, and I know I'm going to mangle this pronunciation, but I'm going to pronounce it azodicarbonamide or something like that.
Gesundheit.
But this is something that basically makes stuff poofy, and it basically puts air in the little air pockets to form. And so they use it in the breads at Subway to get them to rise and have that nice little, you know, airy type of yeast bread that we all like. Well, apparently she looked around and found that they were also used to make those poofy little holes in yoga mats. She says, quote, "Azodicarbonamide is the same chemical used to make yoga mats, shoe soles, and other rubbery objects. It's not supposed to be food or even eaten for that matter, and it's definitely not fresh." Okay, so her claim is this stuff is used to make rubbery stuff, so it must be rubbery.
Yeah, that's a claim, but where's your evidence? I say show your homework.
So she goes on, you know, with classic internet fear-mongering, and she's got her little list of bullet points. And the first one is the World Health Organization has linked it to respiratory issues, allergies, and asthma. Well, she actually linked to the World Health Organization's summary of azodicarbonamide, and it's actually not very long. It's just a quick rundown, and I'm just kind of skimming the report here. It says the report cites limited evidence suggesting rapid biodegradation in soil. Azodicarbonamide released to surface waters is expected to partition to the hydrosphere with no significant sorption to particulates. In other words, it goes away pretty quickly. No data on exposure of the general population can be identified. Concerning kinetics and metabolism, limited animal studies of exposure via inhalation and ingestion indicate that substantial quantities remain unabsorbed and are rapidly eliminated in the feces. In other words, if you get some of it in you, it's pretty much going to go straight out. Studies further suggest that most systemic exposure to the breakdown product by urea and not to the parent compound. So what people are getting when they look at the stuff is not the stuff itself, but its breakdown product. Toxicity studies conducted in experimental mammals demonstrate low acute toxicity and no irritation of skin, eye, or respiratory tract. Although azodicarbonamide was found to be a mutagen in bacterial systems, the report found no evidence that this effect would occur in vivo. And so far, we've got a whole lot of nothing. Right? And then it says, no adequate studies of carcinogenicity and reproductive toxicity in animals or humans could be identified, so there's not really any adequate evidence that it messes with reproduction or causes cancer. Okay, and then it says, case reports and epidemiological studies in humans have produced abundant evidence that azodicarbonamide can induce asthma, other respiratory systems, and skin sensitization in exposed workers. Okay, so what they're talking about is like people who work in factories with this stuff, you know, where they're blowing all and it gets in the air and they breathe it in. And what they're really saying is, if you already have asthma or something else, then it can cause it to flare up. So that's why it says it's linked to these issues. But I mean, really, she's talking about it being, you know, blown around in the air and not, you know, in the bread of a Subway sandwich.
It's a long, long word that no one can pronounce. When people are not going to really have the time to look at the information about, you know, the World Health Organization and look and say, by the way, it has no real effects on people. The only people it will affect on is factory workers. But other than that, there's nothing yet. There is absolutely no harm to anyone or anything. There's no harm.
But this is, I mean, she's just going down the list here. The second one on her list is, when a truck carrying azodicarbonamide overturned on a Chicago highway in 2001, it prompted city officials to issue the highest hazardous materials alert and evacuate people within a half-mile radius. Many people on the scene complained of burning eyes and skin irritation as a result. So that's this big tanker of just pure azodicarbonamide, apparently, saying that a swimming pool of this stuff can cause problems, therefore eating a little bit of it in your sandwich, you know, it doesn't really... This hazardous materials alert, that's the standard thing that happens. I was once driving through Gastonia many, many years ago, and there was a Pepsi truck that had just the syrup stuff that the Pepsi's made of, and not like the carbonated water, stuff like that, and it overturned and spilled everywhere. And they had all the hazmat people out there, and they had everything closed off and, you know, didn't want people to come into the areas. That's pretty much a standard procedure. It's really a safety precaution more than anything else.
again, it's fear-mongering. And when you have people who do this, if this was such a problem, if this was such, oh my God, this is a health risk, why haven't we heard people or anyone else coming out saying, oh my God, I'm feeling sick, or this, that, and the other, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, we do that with these factory workers who were exposed to it, just not all the millions of people who are eating at Subway. I mean, this is just dihydrogen monoxide all over again. You know, dihydrogen monoxide is horrible. It's the main component in acid rain, and it's used in pesticides, and it's probably even used to make yoga mats and all sorts of things like that. I wouldn't be at all surprised. And of course, dihydrogen monoxide is water. But if you give it this big, complicated name that makes people's brains click over into power save mode, and then you talk all this scary stuff about it, you know, you can whip up all of the fear-mongering about it, you know, pretty easily.
Yeah, that's what it is. Even though there's no real evidence.
Yeah. So she wrote this blog post, and it's all bogus, but it went viral. And within, I think, like a day or two, Subway came out and said they were going to remove this ingredient from their bread. So they're just, you know, caving to all, of, you know, all the fear-mongering and all the pressure and all the negative publicity they were getting. And, you know, I don't want to hear anyone say ever again that big corporations want to kill us to make a profit. Not when they go out of their way to remove these kinds of ingredients, even if there isn't the first reason to think they're actually dangerous.
Yeah, because if it was actually federal government, they would be like taking, you know, their sweet time.
We have to form a subcommittee to study the matter and, you know,
and all this type of stuff. And meanwhile, they just, you know, they take it off themselves and actually say, we won't do it anymore. We will not put whatever that word is, because if I try to pronounce it, my tongue will get legitimately tied. So they will not put that in the substance in the bread anymore, and they move on. That's the thing. They don't need to have a whole congressional arm.
Yeah, but I mean, there's an expense with this, and they've got to reformulate how they do everything. I mean, there's an expense with it, and the consumers are going to pay for it.
Sadly. Say goodbye to $5 footlongs. People will go back to $10 footlongs. So.
I don't think it'll be that bad, but still. Yeah. But we've seen this kind of thing before. You know, the whole spontaneous acceleration thing, so now you have to brake to shift into drive. Or the Ford Pinto exploding when it's rear-ended, or silicone breast implants. It's all the same stuff. It's all fear-mongering, and there isn't anything to it at all, but it still seems to be incredibly effective, unfortunately.
You know, the world isn't coming to an end. You just got played until the next type of huge thing, you know, is coming.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 35% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address, or establish your online business in a snap, all for 35% off. Or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for special offers on GoDaddy products. Get great savings on quality internet services. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON.
All right, so now conservatives are getting all up in arms about how the Obama administration is going for unilateral disarmament, and this was their plan all along, and they're cutting defense spending to the bone. Oh, if only that were true.
Aren't we the number one? We are like 10 times ahead of other countries.
I think if you combine all the other countries together, we still spend more on our military.
What is wrong with these people? is it the Red Scare? They're going to come back like, you know, that's what they're going to come back like, we got you. See, it was all part of the evil plan and promise of evil Muslim and such, you know.
But, this is written by Greg Karambos on WorldNet Daily, so that probably tells you most of what you need to know right there. But he says, quote, "The Obama administration is proposing the biggest cuts to the military in generations, and the cuts will further erode already poor military readiness, You know, I would think if we have poor military readiness, it's because of our soldiers being spread all around the world in these stupid little conflicts, or even in places where there are no conflicts, instead of back home being ready to go where they need to go.
Yeah, but that's logic, Shane. And they don't think in logic, because that might make their thinking parts hurt.
Yeah, so it says, the U.S. will be in no position to defend national security threats on the scale it has in years. On Monday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced plans for a $522 billion budget, which is still exponentially higher than the defense budget for any other nation, but the plan also comes for bringing troops to the lowest level since World War II. Okay, so Chuck Hagel is planning a $522 billion defense budget. That's about the same as it was last year. It was around $530 billion, maybe a small cut. But understand, this is just the base defense budget, not the whole of defense spending. Last year, that totaled about $730 billion. And both of those figures should be about the same until 2022, because there's a freeze on budget spending until then. But if they follow this budget freeze, which they don't always do, but it should stay pretty much the same until 2022.
Until they need to raise it again, because the Red Scare is coming and all the Muslims are about to come out from the shadows and come and destroy us all.
Yeah, they'll come out any time now and we'll find out that the Muslims really have been this great big organized force and they have all these nukes and everything. And also, I'm sure Andy Kaufman's going to be coming back from the dead any time now and say his death was all a hoax. Yeah, any time. Just you wait.
Yeah, they're trying to bring troops down to 400,000 to 500,000, like... And this is wrong because what's this whole thing here? I mean, we should be getting out of Afghanistan and doing our troops back home. And they've been begging just to have one more good war. They just need that. Just like, oh, they just need to get that thing out there.
Yeah. But he goes on, you know, this administration still does not have a strategy for how to defeat radical Islam. And they don't even talk about it. They took us out of Iraq. And what do we find? We find now that the Iraqis are buying weapons from the Iranians. That's a very disturbing thing. They're going to let Iran in the next 2 or 3 years become a nuclear power. I'm very disturbed of this. Blah, blah, blah. Fear-mongering, fear-mongering, fear-mongering. Let's think about this. The height of the Cold War was probably around 1984. And you not only had the Soviet Union, a giant superpower with tens of thousands of nuclear warheads, you also had them arming all these other countries like Afghanistan. Clearly, our defense budget at the time was enough to take care of that. Now the Soviets are gone, and people like this guy are just all, you know, staying awake at night worrying about things like Iran getting one nuke, when the only information about that is the same bogus fear-mongering they did to try and convince us that Iraq had WMDs. So anyway, 1984, the U.S. defense budget was $204 billion. Adjust for inflation... And that's about $460 billion in 2014 dollars. And so they're saying that a budget of $522 billion is too small, even though there's no longer a Soviet Union to worry about.
They have nothing else. There's no more demons to slay. I mean, shouldn't this be a good thing? Shouldn't this say, yeah, we won. There's no more wars and everything else. We just go back home and actually and build up our, you know, our defenses at home and, you know, that sort of thing.
There's no profit in them for. They need to find the next dictator. You know, Saddam Hussein is the next Adolf Hitler. No, Slobodan Milosevic is the next Adolf Hitler. No, it's this guy. No, it's that guy. We got to stop all these guys.
You know, war profiteering. It used to be a bad term. It used to be a negative term to be right there with war profiteering, right? It used to be, but now it's a part of Americana now. It's a part of our economy. It's just more people using their influence to set up these wars that kill and destroy young men and women. And it's sociopathic. That's what it is.
Yeah, and of course, the Republicans are the party of fiscal responsibility. Right. Except when it comes to cutting the things they like.
They can't get over $500 billion. What? They need what? Is it a trillion? 2 trillion? 3 trillion? Is that enough for them?
History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom, probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web. Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors.
There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to divest the assets of this week's biggest bogon emitter. And it's more Bitcoin bogosity, as Mark Gongoloff of the Huffington Post said that Bitcoin is a disaster limited to rich white males.
Oh, joy. Don't you just love these type of things and presumptions? Those are just fun.
Well, and of course, he comes right out the gate and talks about Mt. Gox. And Mt. Gox was a bad thing. I mean, that's really the Bitcoin equivalent of a banking failure. But Mt. Gox really happened because instead of you managing your Bitcoins in your wallet, you gave all your Bitcoins to Mt. Gox and you just kind of trusted them. And that's the problem. But you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to trust an exchange, which I guess is the closest equivalent Bitcoin has to a bank. You just keep it in your own wallet and you can secure your own wallet.
To me, I'm rooting for it because we need some a bit of competition because the Federal Reserve keeps pumping money into the stock market thinking everything's fine, but it's Wall Street goes completely insane.
Yeah, because they made a bubble.
Yeah, bubbles. And bubbles are going to burst. And
yeah, I kind of miss Bubbles Bernanke. I'm going to have to come up with a nickname for Yellen. Bye-bye, Bubbles. We had fun. All right, so this guy goes on about how almost no women own Bitcoins at all, according to a new online survey, which he says isn't representative, but he says about 93% of the cryptocurrency's users are male. So apparently, 7% equals 0%. So like, 7% of Americans are Jewish, so there must not be any Jews in America.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because he says the average Bitcoin user is a 32.1-year-old libertarian male. Okay, if no other reason for that being bogus, how do you average a sex? Is the average American male or female? How does that work? That's not really a thing you can average. Yeah, but it says 44% of users describe themselves as libertarian or anarcho-capitalist, and libertarian anarcho-capitalists tend to be white men, other studies have shown.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. There's a lot of math that just doesn't stack up. It's not certified. It's not anything else. And heck, an online survey, who knows who's actually putting those things out there? What if someone is actually, you know, an African-American who just don't want their real stuff get found out? Again, you don't know.
Yeah, why on earth would a minority not want to identify themselves as a minority? Gee, I can't think why.
But hey.
Basically, he says you need to be rich to afford Bitcoin. Well, now, as we're recording this, Bitcoins are right around $600. I'm looking at BTCe. They have last price 611.5, low of 590, high of 634. So around $600. But you don't need $600 to get Bitcoins. You can get a tenth of a Bitcoin or a hundredth of a Bitcoin. You can spend one penny and get something like 1500 Satoshi, which is the smallest unit of Bitcoin you can get. And you can get 1500 of those for a penny. So, I mean, it's just a matter of how much do you want to get? You don't have to be rich to buy into this. You just buy however much you can afford or however much you want or however much you think will do you some good. You don't need to be wealthy to get into this.
It's the narrative. See, it's only for this group. Certain people are like, ooh, they're libertarians and they're rich and they're evil and all this type of, it's just that type of negative type of connotation in this thing. Really just, they give a lot of leeway to the current currency we have.
Well, I think it's a feature, not a bug, because, you know, what's the big problem we have? Well, banks just say, oh, well, if we fail, government will bail us out. In Bitcoin, no one's going to bail you out. No one's bailing out Mt. Gox. You fail, that's it. That's a huge incentive for these other exchanges to make sure they have their act together. And we saw that in countries like Iceland who didn't bail out their banks. You better believe those banks are straightening themselves out.
Yeah.
Well, looking through the comments, you have all the usual suspects. The very first comment here calls it a Ponzi scheme. I think we've debunked that enough. You know, another one says, hey, isn't the Monopoly the same value as Bitcoin? Herp-a-derp-a-derp. And then someone else responds, hey, at least with Monopoly money, you can use it to play Monopoly. Herp-a-derp-a-derp. I mean, just all of the same stuff over and over again. Someone else compares it to Tulip Mania, apparently having no idea why it was the Tulip Mania happened. But there is one conversation I wanted to talk about in the comments, and it's involving this guy named John A. And one user posted that Bitcoin needs to get their act together. John A. said, well, to get their act together, they would have to have full disclosure. Well, let's think about this. Bitcoin is open source, and anyone who wants to can download the blockchain and look for it. How do you get more full disclosure than that? He says, the people that want Bitcoins want anonymity, so it's a perfect scam. And someone else comes in and points out there's nobody behind it, it's decentralized, nobody controls it. And John A., the same guy, comes back and says, that's a good thing? Someone has to take real cash for Bitcoin? Someone has to do something with the real cash? No, Bitcoin is the currency. What's the point? Now listen to this. Illusion of being anonymous. If the U.S. Gov can track any phone call, text, email at any given time, anywhere, why would you think Bitcoin could possibly keep you anonymous? So over the span of two posts, from, you know, post two in this conversation to post four, he went from the problem with Bitcoin is it's anonymous to the problem with Bitcoin is it's not anonymous. But like I said, you don't even need NSA spy. Download the blockchain. Anyone can do it. Not even the guy. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to get a, you know, warrant or they download the blockchain and you can look through it.
That's all you got to do. Willful ignorance.
Yeah, it's very willful. And the same guy came back and pointed out to him, you know, nobody has to use Bitcoin. Nobody controls it. No one can manipulate the money supply. And John A. came back with, someone controls the protocol. It's not magically controlled. Anything can be manipulated. The address is owned by the person who will be standing when it crashes. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Nothing is anonymous. To believe anything you posted would qualify a person to be categorized as naive. That said, good luck. It's your money to lose. So he has no concept of how Bitcoin can be decentralized and managed with a protocol via very well-established methods of encryption.
At the end of the day, I don't really care about using Bitcoin, and people, you use Bitcoin and everything else. And
I don't really use it that much.
Yeah, and people are like, well, you know, oh, you have to do this. You can't do anything else. Someone just has to control it. It's all manipulated. They act like it's a Jason Bourne movie or something. Like, it's some type of weird conspiracy theory. It just seems like it's just a lot of hot air that's being wasted.
But I'll tell you what excites me about Bitcoin. It's not really the currency aspect. It's they have this great decentralized way of reliably confirming any sort of transaction or any sort of information being passed around. There's a fairly new coin, relatively new coin out called Namecoin, which is something the internet has needed for a long time, a way of decentralizing the domain name system. And what they did was they kind of just made up their own top-level domain, .bit. It's not a formal TLD, so you have to go through a special domain name service to get there. But they set up Namecoin, which uses the same software and everything as Bitcoin. And I actually played around with this. I gave up a tiny little amount of Bitcoin for a Namecoin, but for the equivalent of like 4 cents, I think it was, you could get a .bit address, and if you're on this system, you can actually go to bogosity.bit and get to our site. And someone actually set up a .pe domain as a redirector, as a proxy, so you can actually go bogosity.bit.pe, and it would actually redirect it through the main domain name system and do that. But, I mean, that's great, just having a decentralized way of keeping track of all of this, where, you know, the government couldn't go out and take down your whole domain and censor the internet that way. But who knows what people are going to be doing this with? It's not just about the currency, it's about the system of transactions. All of which means that Mark Gongoloff and, as usual, pretty much all the Bitcoin haters are this week's biggest bogon emitter. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon.
Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers, and Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And now it's time to search for any evidence of brains. This week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week, it goes to the TSA.
Oh, yes, the TSA. More often than not, the TSA will be ones doing something so incredibly stupid, doing anything else that is not even useful to catch anyone trying to destroy, you know, buildings or planes, what have you.
Yeah. And this story comes to us from Davey Barker at the Daily Anarchist. Does that name sound familiar to you, Davey Barker?
Davey Barker? No.
He's the guy who did that study of mass shootings and found out that when mass shootings are stopped by an armed civilian, the total dead averages 1.8 as opposed to 14.29 when stopped by the police.
Wow, that is interesting. Wow, that is. I need to look that thing up.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, but here apparently he was flying around and he had a t-shirt that said Bitcoin, not bombs. And apparently he also had some of those little badges, you know, you can put on yourself that had something about Bitcoins on him, and it was just trying to, you know, raise awareness for Bitcoins. But he was going to the Liberty Forum, and he ran into Bill Bumpert of ZeroGov.com and his wife, and they saw this whole thing happen. So this isn't just guy, you know, just making stuff up. He's got people to say, yeah, this happened. So he went through the whole thing about, you know, you go to the TSA screenings, you put things in the gray bins. They pull him over to search him. And it's all the stuff like, we need to search you and we need to search your bags. And it's like, well, can I be with my bags? And, you know, okay, you can see your bags. And there's actually a couple interesting parts where he actually got some sympathy from one of the TSA guys. You know, one of the TSA guys, one who's doing the pat search, he said, believe me, I'm as uncomfortable about this as you are. And so he asked him why. And he said, why would anyone be comfortable doing this? And he says, well, I've never heard anyone say that before. And he said, well, we're not all part of the security club around here. And there's a couple more things like this in the story, which kind of bring it home that there's really two groups. There's these guys that are on the power trip and the security track. And then there's people who are just trying to do a job they can until they find something better because they hate groping people all day long. So
yeah, but it's a living. And you got to take what you can get in this economy.
That's true. Because I don't really blame them for that, but the point is, he got all cleared. I mean, they did the whole thing. They searched him. They searched his bag. He was clear. And so they were coming through all of that. And then there were a couple of men that accosted him, and they asked him where he was traveling to. Was he traveling internationally? And he's like, am I obligated to answer your questions? He said, if you're traveling internationally, you are. You know, so that's kind of a weird catch-22 type thing.
A trap.
So anyway, he told him that he went through the TSA, he was searched, his bag was inspected, it didn't contain anything dangerous, he's already been cleared, he didn't have anything dangerous, and they asked him, what about Bitcoin? They wanted to know if he had any Bitcoin on him. And he was like, what? And they said, we saw Bitcoin in your bag and we need to check. And so he said, do you have a superior officer? Because I don't think you know what you're talking about. And they said, well, no, we're managers. I said, are you law enforcement? No, we're with the TSA. The other guy who was with them, Bill, kept chiming in. Was like, look, Bitcoins are not physical things. They don't have anything tangible in reality. It's a virtual currency. And they kept saying things like he couldn't go out of the country if he was carrying more than $10,000. And he did say that on his, not to them, but he did say in the write-up that he had, that his phone was capable of accessing his account that had 4.2 Bitcoins in it. Of course, he didn't tell them that, but
they would have blown his. They would have been like, "Oh my God, man, we need to do another cavity search or something." This is just this complete insanity. What is this whole Bitcoin? Does it mean he's a part of terrorism or something?
Well, what he says is, "quote,
Here's what I think happened from their perspective. Obviously, the TSA has been trained, although poorly, to look for Bitcoin. They are apparently now trying to catch money launderers in addition to terrorists and large tubes of toothpaste. My hoodie is probably what caused their attention. That was the one that had Bitcoin not bombs on it. And everything after that received extra attention. When they saw all the metal lapel pins in my bag, they probably thought they hit the jackpot on a stockpile of, whatever this word is, Cassius coins? Whatever training they had, it probably included that stock photo of brass tokens everyone uses. My evasiveness only quickened their bloodlust as they imagined a big bust and possibly a promotion down the security track. It was an open-faced lie when they said they saw bitcoins in my bag. Always remember, bureaucrats can legally lie to you, but lying to them, even by mistake, is a serious crime they'll use as leverage to coerce further cooperation.
And ruin your life and what have you.
Yeah, that's how they got Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart did absolutely nothing illegal. They got her for lying to the authorities about the perfectly legal stuff she was doing that wasn't even against law in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, people who do absolutely worse stuff and like crashing the economy, the jail time, they don't get any at all. You know, but if you're not in that club, it's over for you.
But they can't lock you up in jail for finding bitcoins on you because there's no way you could have bitcoins on you because they don't exist in reality. They don't have a tangible existence.
Is it illegal to have bitcoin? Last my check, it's not. To say, we can carry our phones and all this type of stuff, bank accounts digitally.
I've got that. I've got an app on my phone that links right to my bank account and all the money I have in that. Does that count?
Yeah, same here. I got one in my PayPal account on my phone.
Yeah.
And was that, does that count? The TSA, they do absolutely nothing. They check your junk. They fondle you. They quiz you, all this type of stuff. And yet you still have, you hear stories. The underwear bomber, you have him just, he had no baggage whatsoever. He had everything else. He was on the terrorist watch list with everything, and he still got on the plane just fine. And he still could have caused a massive damage and caused loss of life. It just shows you how badly the TSA is. It's a terrible system. It needs to be restructured.
Or just let the airlines handle their own security.
Yeah, they should. That'd be easier. And I still think there are good people there. There's a lot of great people in the government trying to do it. And there are people who are the best of the best. But more often than not, you will find incompetence. And when you have incompetence, like the TSA and like people in the, in law enforcement have you, who abuse their power and in the end ruin more lives than they actually help.
So after all that, who else but the TSA would be named this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire?
Well, that wraps up this Time for the Penguin on Top of Your Television to Explode edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
No problem.
No podcast next week because I'm shooting a pilot, but until we come back, here's a quote from Nelson Mandela. Money won't create success. The freedom to make it will. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution on Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. get How Evolution is Scientific and Never Be Taken In by Creationists Again.
A prediction from me, Duke CT, there will be another TSA screw-up by the next Bogosity podcast.
Ah.
Yes.
Sometime in the next 2 weeks, huh?
Oh, yes. Yes, I believe I'll be right.
That's an interesting prediction. Might have told you to it.